sort of buttoned up professional type of guy. His reputation is for highly competent management. He's got a decade, two decades of public service behind him. And if you're a progressive or a liberal or a Democrat, that's probably almost more worrying than the idea of Andy Puzder running the Department of Labor, because Acosta's record is somewhat is as someone who can very competently execute the agenda of his boss inside of a complex federal bureaucracy. So if you want to find somebody who can sabotage a federal agency and turn it against its whole purpose, Alex Acosta's resume is glimmering. It's exactly who you want if you're out to sabotage the Department of Labor.
Well, Alan Pike, I want to thank you for being with us, editor with Think Progress. His latest article, Who is Alex Acosta? Trump's backup labor secretary has skeletons in his closet, too. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gattas, Dina Guzder, Sam Alkoff, Ravi Karan, Honey Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Andre Lewis, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Paul Huckabee, our engineers. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. My name is Jay Kronick, station advisor here at WHFR.fm, the station making waves. We're all about local news for Dearborn and the surrounding area, and some points of view that maybe you hadn't considered before. We try to fill in the gaps and check the accuracy as much as possible with our volunteer student and alumni staff. I'm the station advisor here, so I should know better, but I always tell the students, do as I say, not necessarily as I do. So today we're very, very special show, very important, something that you want to tell your friends about so they can listen to the podcast if they're not listening today, Friday the 17th. We're going to play all five segments of Mayor Riley's new format for the State of the City address. Each year he gives usually a public address. That is, he has one speech and he delivers it in person at one of the auditoriums in Dearborn. And this year it's all on video and there's five parts and we're going to feature each one, the audio portion only. So if you want to see the pictures that accommodate it, sometimes I think the pictures are distracting from the words. You should be paying specific attention as a resident of Dearborn anyway to the words that he's speaking, and not be distracted necessarily by the pictures. But the pictures are nice and allows people to sort of go with the flow, if you will. I want to bring your attention that a very detailed printed report about Dearborn's progress in 2016 was prepared and is available as a PDF file, which you can either read on the cityofdearborn.org website, or you can even download it and print it out for yourself. I did, certainly. And it's not the same. It's actually much more information, a lot of details that are not in these five video presentations. It's actually located, the link to it is located at the end of the story that's entitled Mayor O'Reilly Improves Format for 2017 State of the City Address. So if you go down all the way, you'll see 2017 State of the City publication. That is actually a link. And if you click on it, you'll get the very special report, a lot of details about what's going on in the city and future possibilities. But we're going to start right now without further ado by actually going to cityofdearborn.org, and because I can't download it, and click on Watch CDTV On Demand. And now we have another website. And so without further ado, here's part one of the 2017 State of the City Address by Mayor Jack O'Reilly.
Thank you for joining me for this 2017 State of the City Address. You know, so much of our success as a community depends on our willingness to keep working at something until we reach our goal. Many of our city facilities and programs that people cherish today took years to develop and faced serious obstacles along the way. But through determination, patience, and time, we now have a service mix in place that is second to none. And so why wouldn't we apply this same process to the State of the City address? This speech is supposed to be a convenient opportunity for you to get relevant information you need to know about our city. But in my mind, sometimes the formality of the presentation was an obstacle in the past. So this year, we're breaking up the traditional State of the City speech into 5 short segments to be shown over the next 5 days on CDTV and through links on Facebook. The segments will also be compiled on our website, cityofdearborn.org, for viewing at any time. And more details about our accomplishments are in our State of the City publication on our website. I hope you will find this approach an easier way to get information. There is a lot to take in because these days so many great things are happening in Dearborn. It was hard to limit the topics, but I decided to talk about 5 basic areas that we're laser focused upon. Public safety via our police and fire departments, the maintenance and growth of our economy, our neighborhoods, and our plan to keep our city moving forward. All of them are connected by their essential role in the vision for our community. And that vision is to be a city that offers everything you need and more than you expected. It's a vision that we can all share in to stay attractive to young families and to continue to be a destination for home buyers and business investment. We want to promote our community's identity and leverage the progress we have already made across all sectors, including the 5 areas I will be talking about. It is true that we have to take care of our resources because they are not unlimited. But it is also true in the future that the delivery of services will be transformed in new ways, even as our goals stay the same. One of the ways that we can get the most comprehensive benefits at the best value for our citizens is to take the lead in what's known as shared services. Shared services mean that communities join together for specific innovations that are proven to serve all participating members even better. Now, we've been successful in pursuing and receiving millions of dollars of grants from both the state and federal government for shared services, particularly for public safety. Under Chief Joe Murray, our fire department is bringing greater value and improved services that have already benefited us in Dearborn. So that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about the fire department's accomplishments. The merger with the Melvindale Fire Department in August of 2013 is one of its noteworthy achievements. This merger has added greater depth to the emergency coverage in both of our communities. For neighborhoods in Dearborn's southwest corner, it's meant even quicker response times. There are many examples of the fire department's success based on partnership or sharing of services. Our relationship with Beaumont Hospital has resulted in innovative emergency cardiac treatments. 1 new federally funded fire training academy will improve the skill and safety of our firefighters for less cost and in less time. And combined training for our police and fire have given us greater capabilities. I'll talk about some of these initiatives in just a moment. But first, I want to focus on our state-funded Consolidated Dispatch Center, which is being spearheaded by our fire department. With support from the police department, the fire department pursued and received $3.5 million of competitive grant from the state, the largest in the state's history. It's for new radio technology for our officers and firefighters. We're deploying a universal radio system known as 800 megahertz so that in any crisis, our Dearborn police officers and firefighters can strategically speak to one another, as well as to other cities and agencies. Secondly, we're using the grant to build an advanced dispatch center for our own public safety needs. As dictated by the grant, the dispatch center must also accommodate other communities. And that's a good thing, as it will strengthen the response in Dearborn as well as the rest of the region. Having more dispatchers in Dearborn at any given time means a greater capacity to respond to individual situations in our community and broader deployment in regional incidents. The dispatch center is nearing completion in the Dearborn Administrative Center, and we are looking forward to its implementation. Another big accomplishment of the fire department is the new Fire Training Academy. As I mentioned earlier, we pursued and received a $1.1 million competitive federal grant to build the academy. It features a broad range of training equipment to allow firefighters to encounter challenging hazards like those in the real world. At the training center, firefighters will also be improving their already excellent EMS and life-saving skills. And we're building this training center in a cost-effective way by reusing a DPW building. Our goal is to keep firefighters safe in the most precarious situations and to improve efficiencies during emergencies, leading to better service for all of you. The training center also boosts the ability of firefighters around the region. That's because we intend to offer communities a chance to pay for the same advanced training at our Dearborn site. Again, under Chief Murray, we also created a special operations team. Having this specialized team improves the chances of survival for our victims, even when a technical rescue is required. Through a competitive FEMA grant, we will also be certifying additional firefighters in tactical decision-making, supervisory skills, and safety. That's on top of training for others to become incident safety officers and hazard zone managers. You know, having the best people, the best training, and the best equipment can't compare with early warning and even prevention of an emergency. Sometimes it's so simple. We now know that smoke detectors are one of the most effective ways to save lives. Chief Murray pursued a competitive federal grant to pay for the cost, and the department has already installed free smoke alarms in 500 homes. Many more will be added over the next 2 years. The men and women of the department are committed to ensuring that all residents, regardless of income, have this essential protection. No emergency is routine, but there are some that are more common than others, like heart attacks. We've partnered with Beaumont to begin an effective treatment as soon as we reach a cardiac patient. We're immediately in contact with the ER physicians and can transmit an EKG, giving that doctor vital information. Now, first responders can also administer medications that can limit damage. Doing all of this means that patients can be taken directly into the cardiocatheterization center, saving crucial time. Faster catheterization means a significant reduction in the likelihood of damage or death from certain heart attacks. Because of our innovations, The American Heart Association has recognized our fire department for its excellence. All of these efforts have a very tangible effect on our residents and businesses. As proof, an agency that influences the cost of property insurance raised Dearborn's rating to a more elite level. What does this mean? Well, almost certainly a decrease in your property insurance costs. And one of the primary reasons for the higher ranking was our consolidation with Melvindale, which is validation of the benefit of sharing service. As we continue the progress we've made in fire and emergency services, we will keep pursuing alternative funding. This budget year, that's meant more than $9 million in additional funding for us, up from $2 million in 2008. In the last 10 years, we have brought in more than $79 million additional dollars, including grants from private sources and other agencies. Our police and fire departments are especially savvy when it comes to competing for grants. In recent years, the police department secured about $5 million in total, and the fire department more than $10 million. And we will continue to seek out opportunities for shared services wherever they make sense. We have proof that our strategic efforts so far have benefited Dearborn through our faster response times, even better training, and even more effective fire prevention. Building on our strong public safety traditions and keeping our vision at the forefront, we are committed to having our fire department be ready for the challenges of the future. Now, join me next time when I'll be talking about our outstanding police department. Here's one last reminder. There's something exciting happening in Dearborn.
So we're going to, just for the sake of time today, we're going to take off the commercial for Restaurant Week here in Dearborn. You can go to DearbornRestaurantWeek.com for more information. That continues through this Sunday, February 19th. So we're switching screens now. We're on the City of Dearborn website. And we're going to part two of the State of the City of Dearborn with Mayor Jack O'Reilly.
How we provide services to our residents evolves with the times, but our commitment to the highest standard stays the same. Public safety is one of the biggest responsibilities we have, and our success in this area is the foundation for all other successes. Our vision is to keep our city as a destination for home buyers, especially young families, and for significant business investment. But we can't be attractive, even with the best of our amenities, unless we first cover the basics, like public safety. That's why it's good to know serious crimes have continued to drop in Dearborn, another 2% in 2016. Since 2011, the most serious crimes have fallen by more than 14%. One of the reasons for this trend is that Dearborn is an undisputed national and international leader in community policing. That means our police are seen as a resource, trusted to be acting for the good of our city. Of course, our professional officers can be relied upon to catch criminals, but beyond responding to and preventing crimes, our officers are also partners in helping to create the quality of life we enjoy. Police Chief Ron Haddad's leadership has had a lot to do with our current effectiveness, and so does the department's focus on outreach. We have an excellent police department not just because of our use of advanced technology, or our intensive training, or our special operations teams. Our most effective tool is building relationships within the community and with all groups whom we interact with. You know, outreach is an ongoing commitment and a worthy one. It has proven to reduce crime, and it is especially important as difficult or tragic events around the nation make clear the need for fostering trusting relationships. We should be proud that across our country, Dearborn is held up as a model for this approach. And to be a model, that outreach needs to occur frequently and at different levels. We've increased our school resource police officers from 3 to 7. We've tripled our community and crime prevention meetings from 18 to 52. In 2016, through our Park and Walk program, our officers got out of their vehicles for friendly visits to schools and other places, including business districts, more than 2,500 times. Education and communication have been a great focus of the police department. We use crimemapping.com to share criminal statistics. We reach out via social media application called Nextdoor. We regularly send out urgent news and useful information via Nixle, now with more than 12,000 subscribers. The best example of the department's outreach has been our popular Lock It or Lose It campaign. In 2016, that meant a drop in reported thefts from autos of 10%. And now we've taken other steps. Along with the fire department, the police initiated a program that allows families to tell us about loved ones with special physical and mental disabilities. In an emergency, the special registry means increased safety for our officers and better service for our citizens and people they're trying to help. As mayor, I've been proud to see our police act on a very thoughtful level many times. In December, along with other city employees, our officers assisted dozens of people during an apartment building evacuation due to dangerous code violations. More recently, they showed their good judgment when human trafficking at our border in Detroit called for compassion as well as it did for arrests. Outreach also means interacting with all levels of law enforcement, including with the Justice Department and Homeland Security. Just a few weeks ago, we hosted another insightful workshop with federal agents and our faith leaders throughout the community as part of an overall emergency preparedness prevention effort. Over the past few years, these initiatives have included workshops with universities, colleges, hospitals, and our business areas. And we know building relationships with other departments across the region is also important. Crime doesn't respect borders, so we've continued with Operation Blue Light, a regional crime-fighting initiative started by our department. Twice in 2016, we joined 60 agencies taking a high-visibility approach to improve safety on our roads and disrupt the criminal process. In 2016, those combined efforts led to more than 6,300 additional arrests. Even nationwide challenges can reach our own doorstep. That's the case with illegal opiate use, and we are aggressive in addressing it. But our officers are not just making drug busts. With anti-overdose medicine now carried by all of our patrol cars, our officers on the scene have the ability to save lives and have done so 4 times in just the past few weeks. Another challenge we are taking head on is the appropriate use of force, and I'm very proud of our significant progress. I don't like to be tedious with numbers, but this is an impressive sequence. In 2016, we had 70,000 calls for service and issued 40,000 violations and made 6,000 arrests. And through all of that intensive activity, our officers deployed use of force only 30 times. That compares to a high of 200 incidents in 2008. So we're pleased with the steady, significant drop. But to achieve that kind of progress, we need excellent and ongoing training. So, to reinforce officers' abilities, we are sending every member of the department to the University of Michigan Dearborn for an intensive program on alternatives to using force. Like so many of our endeavors, our department is the first to undertake such a comprehensive and proactive approach. We're also proactive with instituting emerging technology. Our new consolidated dispatch center will improve our response capabilities in Dearborn and with multiple communities. Another feature of the dispatch center is the ability to receive real-time video feeds from public spaces and from property owned by participants in the private sector. Now, this means greater access to timely information about crimes and other critical situations. We hope to expand these video feeds to patrol cars and mobile devices in the future. But we're also keeping in mind the power of our officers to interact with the community, reflect our community, and build relationships. That's why we continue to recruit officer candidates from diverse backgrounds, strengthening our department. It's clear, both on paper and on the streets, that our police services are top-notch, with committed and well-qualified leaders and dedicated officers. As we build on our traditions to meet evolving needs, I am confident that our public safety services are setting the pace. Join me next time when I'll talk about our economic development.
And that's going to be coming up in just a moment. We're listening to the State of the City presentations done by Mayor Jack O'Reilly of Dearborn. And we're playing them back directly from the cityofdearborn.org website. Well, it's actually cdtv.viebit.com, but it'll link you from the city's website. So here's part three. Coming up here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves, this is the new WHFR Journal.
Our vision for Dearborn is to be the community that offers everything you need and more than you would expect. So our strategy must include taking all the steps that we can to retain and recruit businesses that keep Dearborn a desirable destination. The city is not in the real estate developer business. Our role is to make sure that the public infrastructure, the local roads, the sewers, water mains, and so on, can support new development. We also aggressively use the great partnership we've nurtured with other agencies to help plug financial gaps. And then we apply these resources to building the critical facilities that projects need to prosper. That is an essential part of our approach to attracting young families and others who will be invested in our community for the long term. The more interest and investment we generate in Dearborn, the more we add value to everyone's property and preserve our community long-term viability. Our focus must be on those economic enterprises that will enhance our existing amenities and convey our community's unique character. Our track record for consistent commitment to redevelopment contributed to Ford Motor Company's decision to invest $1.2 billion in its own campus in Dearborn over the next 10 years. Our initiatives were also an important factor in Ford's $60 million landmark project already underway in our West Downtown. Ford is transforming its headquarters and its Research and Innovation Center in Dearborn to appeal to millennials and young professionals, the same group we are especially seeking as residents. It's doing this with the inclusion of green elements, connected campuses, energy-efficient buildings, and engaging gathering spaces that appeal to a creative and talented workforce. One component of its ambitious plan to transform Ford from an automaker into a mobility company. That ambition has great potential for Dearborn, and we intend to take full advantage of it. Ford's West Dearborn Downtown project respects the historical style of the business district, but with a modern distinction. Known as the Wagner Place Project, it includes 12 downtown parcels that are becoming new mixed-use retail and office buildings for about 600 employees. Now that's 600 more people who will be in the district for lunch, for shopping, for after-work drinks, and for visiting the farmers market. And hopefully they will make the easy drive around town to enjoy other events like Jazz on the Avenue. The West Dearborn development also features a space for special events and might lead to more or expanded activities in the district, like our popular Friday nights in the park. The city is supporting this landmark project through the construction of a 373-space parking deck, as well as major improvements to infrastructure, utilities, and streetscaping that will benefit the entire West Downtown district. In fact, we are looking to expand streetscaping elements all the way from Outer Drive to Brady, boosting the identity of the entire commercial district. We want people to recognize Dearborn's West Downtown as a distinct destination. And we're pursuing grants and other funding to make or add to bike paths connected to the downtown project, building on the success of our popular Gateway Trail and the extension we just completed to Ford Field Park. We're planning additional miles of strategic bike paths in the near future around and adjacent to our West Dearborn and Central City, and even more dedicated lanes that eventually will connect to our East Dearborn downtown and well beyond. That's about 30 miles total. The ability to bike safely through a town is becoming an essential amenity for many people and adds to the vitality of business districts and neighborhoods. Our infrastructure improvements will be visible signs of our support of Ford's goals in its West Downtown and its campuses. An important part of these efforts involves putting plans in place to facilitate creating a higher density, multiple user environment, which is the hallmark of all vibrant and sustainable downtowns. We're turning to a new tool called form-based zoning to help us meet those objectives. We should have it in place in downtown West Dearborn in 2017 and in East Dearborn in 2018. East Downtown already benefited from a more flexible development approach. That's because the concept was applied to the City Hall Art Space Lofts project, which had its grand opening in September. This unique building for artists to live, work, and exhibit has capitalized on a resurgence of the artist market in the region. Home to more than 50 artists, ArtSpace has already hosted public and holiday events, infusing new energy into the East downtown. That momentum will ignite other activities and investments in Dearborn. We're also thinking about our neighborhood business districts and our other commercial corridors. In 2016, we made progress with the Dix Verner and Warren Avenue corridor authorities, setting in motion plans for physical enhancement and promotion of these distinct business areas. We're about to launch a marketing campaign to tell the story that our town is truly a great place to do business and to bring even more customers to our city. The marketing campaign is spearheaded by our East and West Dearborn Downtown Development Authorities, but will benefit all of our businesses. It will add to the momentum generated by our Discover Dearborn app, which connects visitors and residents with Dearborn attractions, shops, and restaurants. And speaking of our restaurants, I hope you will take advantage of our first Restaurant Week in Dearborn, which is continuing through February 19th. With recent news about national retailers closing stores across the country and in Southeast Michigan, we have been proactive in reaching out to the owners of the Fairlane Town Center, for example. The good news is that Fairlane is financially stable and has a solid mix of stores appropriate to its regional customer base. It's also boosted by the nearby student housing and Ford Motor Company, which is leasing the former Lord & Taylor for office space for about 2,000 employees. But retail is definitely changing. We all know the convenience of online shopping. So we're working with the owners to support decisions that keep the mall relevant to today's shoppers and prepares for the future, and will provide compelling experiences that you just won't get from your laptop. Beyond the mall, we have 1,700 acres zoned for commercial activity in Dearborn. In 2016, we issued 140 commercial certificates of occupancy, all of which represented robust new investment or reinvestment. Based on the permits we issued for commercial construction, more than $187 million in property value was added in 2016, double from the previous year. And we are providing the environment for that trend to continue. One way we're encouraging further investment is by qualifying for the state of Michigan's Redevelopment Ready Communities program. Now, this validates us as a city that is committed to streamlining our business approval processes and for being a resource for success. It puts open for business sign on our community's front door. We do still have challenges from the lingering effect of the economic downturn. But for the past 10 years, we have been aggressive in pursuing new projects and in expediting opportunities for growth. Our proactive efforts in attracting investment to Dearborn have strengthened our tax base, helping to stabilize our ability to continue to offer services at a higher level than most communities around us. In the coming years, I am confident our efforts will continue to be productive, reinforcing our vision that Dearborn offers everything you need, and more than you expect.
That was part three of the State of the City address by Dearborn's Mayor O'Reilly. And we're just playing the audio portion. If you want to see the video portion, you go to cityofdearborn.org. There's several links on that first page. I usually go all the way to the bottom where it says CDTV On Demand. So we're switching now to part four. And here is Mayor O'Reilly again.
neighborhoods don't just happen. They require the basics like sidewalks, streets, and sewers, and some not-so-basic elements like civic pride. Now, we've paid great attention to maintaining and improving the physical foundations while you've paid attention to the nurturing of our community foundation. And so we have wonderful places to welcome us home. And that's true whether your home is a handsome bungalow on a traditional tree-lined street, or a million-dollar condo on the golf course, or a student apartment, or the soon-to-be lofts in our downtowns. Nowhere is it more important for us to focus our resources than on our neighborhoods. Plenty of evidence confirms that our efforts have paid off in strengthening your home values. From December 2015 to 2016, the average sale price rose more than 11%. Strong demand has reduced the inventory of homes on the market, meaning they are selling much more quickly. Another positive trend is the increase in owner-occupied homes in our neighborhoods in the past few years. That's because we've seen the number of registered rentals steadily drop. Now, we can take care of the everyday details, but we're constantly preparing for the long term, ensuring Dearborn will be a robust hometown for the future. Now, we've expanded services like extending the time of our Public Service Day program and our yard waste collection, and implementing more comprehensive trash pickup, and weekly recycling is starting this July. Along with the City Council, we've updated ordinances that give us more efficient tools to address potential property maintenance problems in our neighborhoods. We have also put more resources into our Neighborhood Services Division. Last year, our field inspectors handled more than 23,000 cases. The majority of these were resolved without tickets, and most violators were spotted by our inspectors themselves. Our proactive efforts are working, as we've seen a drop in citizen complaints of 13%. We've seen continued private investment in our neighborhoods, with 36 new homes under construction, more than double compared to 2015. We also saw the value of home additions double, and 24 demolition permits were issued for single-family homes, either eliminating a neighborhood eyesore or nuisance, or making way for new construction or an additional side yard for the adjacent homes. We are offering many of these side yards through our long-term neighborhood revitalization program. Through this program, the city is purchasing and demolishing tired or undersized homes and offering the vacant lots to adjoining neighbors to allow them to add new driveways or home additions. These amenities make our housing stock more appealing today and to tomorrow's home buyers. We're also beautifying the city through more natural means as we begin a comprehensive and aggressive tree replacement program. Our goal is to plant 600 trees each year, which is doubling our current rate. Trees mean cooler streets, better air quality, more attractive streets, and increased property values. Now, it's a huge endeavor, but we are making great progress with the federally mandated sewer separation project. Now, after this project is completed, most of our neighborhoods will have newer streets, newer water mains, and newer separated sewers. And because we've separated the sewers, it's less likely that backups will occur in basements. And if they do occur, the backups will not be mixed with raw sewage. Now, I know the sewer separation project has greatly impacted many of our neighborhoods and for an extended period. This enormous construction project just can't be done without a lot of noise, dust, and inconvenience. So I want to thank you for your patience. Now, we apply the same forward thinking to recreation in our neighborhoods as we update our amenities, appealing to young families and to help keep our competitive edge. Among the biggest projects on the table is a new pool complex at Ford Woods Park with zero depth entry, water slides, room for 200 swimmers, spray features, and shaded areas. Now, we've always said that because Ford Woods Park is a community park serving a large area, if the money became available, we would like to replace the 63-year-old pool. At Levegood Park, we will continue updating Dunworth Pool, which attracts the most swimmers and families from across the entire city. At the same time, we're staying on our successful course of transitioning to lower cost amenities that still offer great value to our families. Our best example is our popular splash parks in neighborhood parks, and we'll be adding a third one in 2017, this time at Whitmore Bowls. Now, we just dedicated our largest playscape ever at Crowley Park, and because we host regional soccer tournaments at the park, we revamped the park's entrance to significantly reduce traffic in the adjoining neighborhood. And we've increased security and enjoyment of many of our neighborhood parks by installing cameras and extending ranger hours. We know the Rouge Gateway Trail is a favorite destination for walkers, runners, and bikers. So in November, we were happy to dedicate the extension to Brady Street connecting the popular trail to Ford Field Park. We're not stopping there. More bike paths are slated in the future to safely connect our neighborhoods to each other and to our downtowns and to regional networks. Another is our new dog park behind Henry Ford Centennial Library. It's a place for people who share a passion can gather together and strengthen the connections of community. We look forward to its opening this spring. We also look forward to expanding our community by pursuing more housing opportunities for seniors and veterans. And we want to make sure that we offer a modern mix of options for everyone, from those who are starting out to people looking for high-end housing. We'll continue to work hard every day to provide people who choose Dearborn with the best public safety possible, appealing public amenities, and an environment that contributes to the sense of well-being. An incredible combination that represents everything that they need and more than they expect. It won't be long before they, like us, will feel fortunate to call this very special city home. Join me next time when I'll talk about our vision for the Dearborn of the future.
And that's part five coming up. Very, very exciting. Of course, we're listening and watching in the studio here with some of our WHFR staff, the video portion. But you're listening to the audio portion of the State of the City presentations available on the city website, cityofdearborn.org. And we're coming up now on part five, the final part about the future. It's actually got a long title, Visioning for Positioning the City for a Bright Future. There you go. And here it comes, Mayor John O'Reilly.
In the last four segments of the State of the City, I highlighted the accomplishments we've achieved to maintain our community as a special place. Now I'd like to talk about the Dearborn of the future and our clear vision to keep our community vibrant. To achieve that vision, we need to keep taking practical, deliberate steps today that will position us well for tomorrow. Now, it's not about dreams, it's about planning and action. That planning has to be informed by an objective evaluation of our strengths and our weaknesses, and a thorough review of our threats and our opportunities. That's why we conducted another community survey last year. And that's why I reactivated our community task force, choosing a cross-section of leaders from schools, businesses, civic organizations, and neighborhoods. Now, we welcome other community input, whether it's given formally at public hearings or casually in the produce section of Kroger on Sunday mornings. But we must balance this input with our financial resources. Despite good management, shared sacrifices, and a long history of cost cutting, we have limited resources to work with. That's why it is so important to think strategically. When we have money to invest, we want to invest it to realize lasting value. We need to pursue amenities and services that will keep us a destination for business and homeowners for years to come. I first appointed a task force back in 2010, and they helped us create a 5-year strategic plan called Vision 2016. And it's a method that worked. We've instituted dozens of the Vision 2016 recommendations and have financially outperformed the plan's projections. Following that success, I initiated a new community task force to help determine a course for Dearborn over the next 10 years. The task force members confirmed that Dearborn provides many superior services compared to other communities in the region. Our longtime reputation for offering high-level services has important value, and our citizens expect them. But the task force also agreed that we should look at offering some premium services in new ways for two reasons: to keep the costs in line with our revenues, and to make sure our services are relevant for this generation and the next. The task force also agreed we should focus on retaining and attracting young families, millennials, and the talented, creative workforce that Ford Motor Company is recruiting. How do we get them here? And how do we keep them in Dearborn in 2026 and beyond? One way is to support a wide range of housing options. Now, among the steps we've already taken is backing the new student housing at the University of Michigan, Dearborn. Our hope is that graduates will then consider Dearborn when they're looking for more permanent homes. Quality rental options can create an affordable entry for new residents. At the same time, we want to set the stage to encourage private investment of higher-end housing. And we want to make sure that our community can meet the needs of people like millennials who seek flexibility and mobility in housing options. Another tactic is our advocacy of mass transportation, like that offered at our train station. We want people to live here and to explore Dearborn, but we also want to provide easy access to the perpetual hipness of Ann Arbor and the red-hot destinations of Detroit venues. This effort leverages Dearborn's convenient and accessible location. We also will continue investing in non-motorized transportation, building trails for biking and walking, because they add to the vitality of our downtowns and our neighborhoods in environmentally friendly ways. We're putting other environmental initiatives at the forefront as well, capitalizing on people's growing desire for sustainability and green spaces. Ford is doing the same thing. To help with recruiting residents as well as new customers, we're launching a campaign to better unify the identity of the two downtowns along Michigan Avenue. And we want to ramp up our overall marketing to promote all the good things that Dearborn has going on. The task force agreed we need to be relentless in telling Dearborn's story, and we know it's a good story to tell. All of these activities will help to position Dearborn to survive during economic downturns and to thrive when prosperous times return. So we must plan, and we must act using balanced, thoughtful, and deliberate approach. We must have a vision, and then bring that vision to life by being resilient yet flexible, determined yet realistic, careful yet bold. At the heart of everything we do is making sure we continue to be a great city in which to live. That means promoting safe, clean neighborhoods that welcome us home every night. Great cities are also dynamic. They pulse with an energy that's amplified through the unique combinations of places and spaces. They have vibrant arts and cultural scenes, fulfilling education, entertainment, and recreational choices, and an enriching diversity. They are places people want to be. Great cities also have a community spirit that fosters a sense of belonging and unity, and one that promotes a deep commitment to doing what's best for all. If you listen carefully to that list, you will realize that Dearborn has most, if not all, of the elements of a great city. Obviously, improvements can always be made, and we will seek those out fearlessly. But overall, we can confidently say that the base from which we will pursue our vision is incredibly strong. That's a testament to those who came before us and those of us today who work hard to realize this special city's potential. Through this series, I've outlined the exciting progress we've made in our police and fire departments, in our pursuit of greater economic development, and in our neighborhoods. All of those accomplishments point to a very bright future that is certainly within our grasp. The key will be what we are willing to do. The continuous effort, the sacrifices, the frustrations, and unrelenting focus to meet our goals. And so, together, let's use the proud platform that we've built to reach the greater heights in the future and to realize our vision of being the city that offers everything you need and more than you would expect.
So that's it. That's the grand plan from part five of the State of the City Address. Five videos that are available for you to view whenever you'd like on the cityofdearborn.org website. And we're happy to present that here on WHFR for you directly from the website. Audio only. You get to see the pretty pictures. And I just wanted to remind you that there's also that, as I mentioned at the beginning, a great additional printed report. It's about 12 pages long with a lot of facts, a lot of information about things that weren't covered here about a number of the city services and programs. And I think that's almost essential if you're a resident and you want to find out more details than what were in these this 50 minutes altogether, this 50-minute presentation. So, again, where is that printed report? It's under the story about Mayor O'Reilly choosing these new formats for his State of the City address this year on the city's homepage, cityofdearborn.org. And just scroll down to the bottom of that story, And it says State of the City publication. Click on that and you'll get to the PDF, and you can either read it online or download it. Wanted to mention to you, too, if you had questions, well, I'd love to ask the mayor a question, or he didn't talk about this or that, please email me here at WHFR at hfcc.edu. It's just that simple. And just put in the subject heading either WHFR Journal or questions for the mayor. And we're going to have him live in the studio during our Radiothon week. And our Friday broadcast that week is on the 24th of March. So 1 month to go. But get me your questions and or suggestions for topics that you'd like to hear him talk about. He'll be with us live for the entire hour that day. And of course, this show is a podcast from our website in just a few moments at the end of the hour, and you can listen to the podcast over again whenever you'd like. Maybe you weren't taking notes and you missed something, and so this show, as all the journals are, will be broadcast from our website, whfr.fm. Click on Talk Shows, click on WHFR Journal, and select the date. Today is 2/17/17. A couple of quickie stories as we're ending here and waiting for the beginning, the exciting beginning, always exciting, of Highway 61 with Kitty Love, coming up with the best in the blues in just a few moments. A couple of stories we missed before, I just wanted to mention. The State of the County address, that's Wayne County, is going to be done right here at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center on Wednesday, March 7th. by, of course, Warren Evans, the executive of Wayne County. But attendance is by invitation only. So they're getting a 1,200-seat auditorium. And, of course, that wouldn't hold all the people in Wayne County, of course. So, but you can't even go and you know, camp out overnight and get in. Okay. But just interesting they're going to do it in Dearborn. Gary Warrenchuk probably got him a cut rate on the facility. We mentioned there was going to be a $500,000 grant from Department of Homeland Security coming into Dearborn. And a couple weeks ago, after we did our story, I guess they were listening to the show, they decided to decline it, to not give it up. And I gave reasons during my show why I didn't think that was a great idea. And it's kind of an insult, I felt. It's kind of a racist insult, even though it was a $500,000 of new money. Anyway, it seemed like they were spotlighting or profiling or whatever some of the Arab American groups in this area. So it's been declined. So they can use that $500,000 for, I don't know, duct tape? Okay. Last but not least, today I wanted to mention that a new candidate has come up for a city council bid. There's going to be an election this November here in Dearborn. It's Regan Ford, who we had on the show just a couple months ago. He's a small business owner in this area, and he also writes opinions on a semi-monthly, every other bi-monthly basis that appear in the Press and Guide about activities in Dearborn. So he's going to be running for city council because